Good morning, church family. We want to wish you a happy Sabbath. Kim and I are coming to you remote because we're actually down in Cedar Home this Sabbath. But we wanted to communicate this message today from Luke 4 because it sets up what we want to talk about next Sabbath. So come next Sabbath to hear the rest of the story. But let's begin by looking at the scripture this morning. It comes from Luke 4. 18 and 19, and it reads this way. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord's favor. Let's pray together as we get into God's word this morning. Loving Father, thank you for the Sabbath day. Thank you that we could be here together. And even though Kim and I are at a different location, we just know that your Spirit will just hold us all together, and we praise you for that. And as we look at your word this morning, come and be our teacher, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Many people refer to this passage of Scripture as Jesus' inaugural address. It's his mission statement, if you will. And he highlights a number of things which we're going to go through this morning. But Kim was reading it out of her translation, which is the Clear Word, and it brought to mind something that she'd like to share. So go ahead, Kim.
So a couple of verses before, when it talks about when Jesus came into Nazareth, and as was his custom on Sabbath, he went into the synagogue, of course. And then it says here in verse 17... Well, actually, the end of verse 16, it says, he attended the synagogue on the Sabbath, and on this particular Sabbath, the one in charge asked him to give the scripture reading. The scheduled reading that day was from Isaiah the prophet, and when they handed him the scroll, he unrolled it and found the place where it said. And it kind of hit me that it wasn't a coincidence that they invited him to speak the day that he showed up there, that particular day, they invited him to speak. And that, according to this, it was scheduled to be read in the book of Isaiah. And so Jesus was able to just read his mission statement and declare himself as the coming Messiah.
Yeah, so. As a Messiah. And in this passage, we're going to highlight the messages that he communicates. Next week, we're going to go deeper into each one. So he begins by saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, meaning he was anointed for this, just like we are anointed. He promises to give us the Holy Spirit there in John chapters 14, 15, and 16. And in Acts 1, he tells them to go and pray and wait for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to look again next week more deeply at that. But then he goes in and says, proclaim good news to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and set at liberty those who are oppressed. And he ends by saying to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And we want to look at that more deeply. But first of all, I think you have something from Acts of the Apostles, page 111, that Kim would like to share with us.
Yeah, so this is about a spirit of service and self-sacrifice. And she says, long has God waited for the spirit of service to take possession of the whole church so that everyone shall be working for him according to his ability. When the members of the church of God do their appointed work in the needy fields at home and abroad in fulfillment of the gospel commission, the whole world will soon be warned, and the Lord Jesus will return to this earth with power and great glory.
So much of Scripture has more than one meaning. And here, Christ is proclaiming his mission statement while he's here on earth. But we're challenged to also, we have also been commissioned to share the good news as well. And so we can see this as our mission statement. Yeah. Also, and so when we think about the people illustrated here, when it says, proclaim good news, what is he talking about when he says good news?
I would think he's talking about the gospel.
Yeah, the gospel message, the message of salvation is what he's proclaiming to the poor. Now, would this be like actual poor? Or, I mean, so many of these things, we talk about poor, we talk about brokenhearted, captives, and so forth. Is there more to it?
I would think that there's more. Obviously, there's the four dimensions. There's the physically, they are physically poor or physically brokenhearted. But there's also the mentally, the emotionally, and then, of course, the spiritually. And Jesus, praise the Lord, is interested in all our whole dimension, right? All aspects of ourselves. So it could be the poor in spirit, the ones that are without the Spirit of God. To me, that would make us very poor in spirit, right? So those that are needing to hear about the God and His Spirit. So, and each of those dimensions, you know, have the brokenhearted. Just think about that. I was speaking with somebody yesterday about an issue that she's working with a group of people, and she was saying that their hearts are so broken, they're blinded right now, they can't even see beyond that. And so you have to work to heal the broken hearts before then you can heal the physical and the rest of the emotional healing and stuff that needs to happen. And so I just look at each of these as four dimensions. Setting those that are prisoners, setting them free from sin, and you know, the bondage of sin. And we all know we have strongholds in our lives, each of us. And some of our sins might be a little more visible than others, but we all have sins and we all have those strongholds that God wants to set us free. It's His job to set us free, not ours. And that's what makes it like something to rejoice about. And then, of course, the sight, you know, the giving sight to the blind. Obviously, it's the physically blind, but also the spiritually blind, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So,
in 1 Thessalonians 5, talking about the brokenhearted, verse 11 there in 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, we are called to comfort one another. You know, we talk about we have to go out and give Bible studies, which is important. We have to do evangelism, which is important. But a lot of times, we just need to listen.
That's right.
We need to listen. We need to be there. We need to cry with somebody, just give them a hug or whatever that is. And Jesus says, I've come to proclaim liberty to the captives. Well, John 10:10 says, if the Son makes you free, then you're free indeed. So, so much of this is who we are in Jesus. And we've talked about that when we looked at Ephesians chapters 1 and 2. And then, as Kim mentioned about physical sight being blinded, there's also spiritual blindedness. I'm reminded of a story in Matthew chapter 9, which is the healing of two blind men. It's in Matthew 9, starting in verse 27 and through verse 31. But starting in verse 29, and when he had come into the house, so Jesus had come into the house, the blind men came to him and said, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? And they said, yes, Lord. And then Jesus said, he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. You see, our faith, our trust, our belief in Jesus and his ability to restore us plays a part to our healing. When we look at the last one there, which is set at liberty, the oppressed, those who are oppressed, I'm reminded of Matthew chapter 25. Why don't you talk to us about that?
Yeah, Matthew 25, he's talking about the final judgment. And he talks about what separates the sheep and the goats, right? You remember that? And he's saying it's not all of our, well, we did this in your name and we did that in your name. And he's like, you know, let's look at what you did for the marginalized, right? That's really who he's talking about, what we call them today, the marginalized. And I love it how he says in verse 32 of Matthew 25, he starts there, everyone on earth will be gathered together before him and he will separate those who are genuinely his from those who are not. Okay, so that's going to tell us what makes us genuinely his. And he goes on to talk about how those that are working for them are marginalized as if serving Jesus, right? And so the sheep, those of us that are going to be saved, say, Lord, we didn't know that was you. When did we do that for you? We didn't know that was you. And I love how Jesus says down in in verse 40, he says, then the king will say, I know you didn't realize this, that it was me, because a change took place in your life and kindness and compassion became part of your nature. Isn't that our prayer? I wrote in there in my Bible, please make that part of my nature. I want that kindness and compassion to be part of my nature. And then he goes on to say, what you did by caring for the underprivileged was as pleasing to my father as if you had done it for me. And then he'll say to those on his left, the goats, that you can't be given a home in my father's kingdom, for you are still controlled by your own sinful nature. And they'll go on and say, Lord, we didn't know that you were hungry. If we'd have known it was you, we would have done that for you. And obviously, just so that they can earn their own way, right? And he says, and then the king will say to them, because you didn't care about others, I know you don't care about me. And I have no choice but to end your lives, because in my kingdom, everyone cares about everyone else.
So we have to allow Jesus to do as he promised in our own lives, yep, and then share that with other people. I think you have another reading out of Ministry of Healing, page 147. This is pretty powerful, and then we'll begin to wrap this up.
Okay, so everywhere there is a tendency to substitute the work of organizations for individual effort. Human wisdom tends to consolidation, to centralization, to the building up of great churches and institutions. Multitudes leave to institutions and organizations the work of benevolence. They excuse themselves from contact with the world, and their hearts grow cold. They become self-absorbed and unimpressionable. Love for God and man dies out of the soul. Christ commits to his followers an individual work, a work that cannot be done by proxy. Ministry to the sick and the poor, the giving of the gospel to the lost, that sound like what we read there, isn't it? Is not to be left to committees or organized charities. Individual responsibility, individual effort, personal sacrifice is the requirement of the gospel.
You know, we do appreciate Community Action and Friendship House and Family Promise and Love Inc. We appreciate the work that they do in our community. But the challenge is, that Kim just read, we don't leave the work to them. It becomes a personal thing for us. We need to go out and reach other people. And at the end of this, he says, I've come to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That's the year of Jubilee, and we're going to look at that in more detail next week. But let me leave you with this, and then Kim's going to have a challenge at the end. In Revelation 21, we read this. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, no more sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. The year of Jubilee was a chance of restoration, returning everything back to its original place. Jesus is coming back to do the same for us, and we've been given the privilege to share that with other people. So you're going to have a card that's going to be given to you today. Kim's going to talk about that, and then we'll have closing prayer.
Really quick before I talk about this, we want you to spend this next week also thinking about how you can tangibly get involved in working with the marginalized, right? We're going to talk about that more next week, but start thinking about it, because we're going to ask you to do something very tangible next week, just like we're asking you to do today with this. What we can all do right now is find five people in our sphere and add them to our prayer list. prayer, we know, is the work, right? So there's five people. And you know what? It might even be somebody you don't know. It might be somebody that you see all the time in your commute, or you see at work, but you really don't know that person, but you maybe the Lord is laying them on your heart, because God needs us to be intercessors to give him the right to work on their souls, right? To call them in. So we're asking you to take this card. It says, take five. There's a scripture you'll read at the bottom. And then on the other side, there's five lines. Find five people to put on this card. And then keep it in your Bible. Put it on your mirror. Put it in your car, wherever you spend the most time, wherever it's going to jog your memory a couple of times a day, to pray for these people and hold them up. So open up the pathways of blessings so that God can start reaching out to them.
You know, we just want to praise the Lord for the opportunity to partner with him in this work. We've, as a church, we've contracted with Interest Generator, a Facebook advertising program to bring people in for Bible studies. We already have three.
Praise the Lord.
Just in the short time that we've had it available. And we're going to need people here in this church to help Tyler, myself, and Pastor Bree to go and meet these people. In fact, right now we have a lady who wants to have face-to-face Bible studies. So if there's a lady here in the church, or maybe two ladies who want to take that on, we can get you in touch with Pastor Tyler Long, and he can give you that contact. But like Kim said, think of five people you could begin to pray for this week. Let's pray together. Loving Father, thank you for this time. Thank you that we could have this opportunity to learn how and practice surrendering to you and sharing you with other people. It's just such an amazing gift that we have to share. So bless us through the remainder of this day and into this week, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.